Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 7th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
equities in Asia rally, oil surges, and treasuries gain.
The risk-on mood stalls in Europe, with stocks starting the week on softer footing.
The U.S. and China start fresh trade talks in Beijing.
Tesla breaks ground on a new plant in Shanghai.
And it could be the end of the line for Sears.
President Trump says his administration is now planning a steel barrier on the U.S. border with Mexico, rather than a concrete wall. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. NFL playoff road wins for the Chargers and Eagles. The Nets won. The Rangers and Devils lost. Alabama and Clemson tonight for the college football championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Asia rallied today, but that risk on sentiment is losing momentum in Europe. It is coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures are down 18, and NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 2.4%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.1%, up $1.02 to $48.98 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7.20 to $12.93 an ounce. The euro, $1.1443, and the yen, 108.16. Nathan.
Karen, stocks in Asia today posted their best gains in a month after Friday's remarks from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and China's cut to the reserve ratio requirement for banks. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index gained close to 2%, led by strong performances from Japanese and Taiwanese equities. The Nikkei 225 closed higher by 2.4% in Tokyo. Despite a stronger yen, investors bought into Japanese equities, which were punished Friday. There were also advances in Hong Kong, South Korea and Australia. The Aussie and Kiwi rallied while the yuan was stronger amid optimism toward the US-China trade talks and a weaker dollar. Meanwhile, saw Indonesia's rupiah and South Korea's won lead gains amongst EMFX. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe aren't getting that same boost, with the Stock 600 down about 0.5% after last month's sell-off. UBS Chairman Axel Weber says investors are too bearish on the global economy.
The economy is still doing well, and yes, there are difficulties we need to watch. But overall, I think the sentiment is not as good as it should be, because we're still in a favorable growth environment, and that seems to get overshadowed by most of the discussions.
But there's still uncertainty over trade as talks between the U.S. and China get underway in Beijing.
Very often these agreements are never done early on. They're always done in the last leg of those negotiations. And it's a very positive signal that this week, at some level of government, at a lower level of government, there are ongoing negotiations.
And we're learning the top trade negotiator for China attended this first day of talks. Vice Premier Liu He had not previously been expected at discussions.
Now, his presence seems to signal China's attaching high importance to the negotiations. Sources tell Bloomberg topics for discussion include intellectual property, agriculture, and industrial purchases. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong.
China is already pledging to cut tariffs, pledging to buy more U.S. goods, including soybeans. But China is so far resisting U.S. demands for tougher actions on technology transfers and how that relates to potential intellectual property rights violations, as well as less state support. The U.S. wants less state support for strategic industries like semiconductors. We are hearing that the Chinese are drafting new laws to protect intellectual property, but the devil will be in the details how far those laws will go and how they will be implemented.
And more senior-level trade discussions are expected later this month. Chinese media are reporting President Trump and China's vice president may meet at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
Oil is headed for its longest rally in more than 17 months following signs of slowing U.S. production. At the same time, Goldman Sachs cut its price forecast for 2019. The firm now sees Brent crude averaging $62.50 a barrel this year. Checking prices right now, starting with Brent, it's up 2.8% at $58.63 a barrel. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7% at $49.24.
Customers of the world's biggest money manager say they'll reduce equity allocation amid concerns about global growth. That's the message from BlackRock's annual survey of 230 institutional clients who own $7 trillion in assets. The trend is particularly pronounced in North America, where more than two-thirds of those polled plan to dial back on risk.
2018 was a horrible year for hedge funds, but not for the world's biggest such fund. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. According to a document seen by Bloomberg, Bridgewater Associates' flagship hedge fund, Pure Alpha, finished the year returning 14.6% net of fees. The gains for its Pure Alpha strategy came as other fund managers were whipsawed by volatile markets, resulting in the industry posting one of the worst years ever. Hedge funds on average lost 6.7% in 2018. That's according to the HRFX Global Hedge Fund Index. Bridgewater, founded by Ray Dalio, has about $160 billion in assets under management. It trades across 150 markets. The firm has operated the Pure Alpha strategy for nearly three decades and has generated an average annual net return of about 12% per year. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Some of the other corporate stories we're watching this morning. After 4 years of planning, Tesla finally broke ground on its planned $5 billion factory in China. CEO Elon Musk and Shanghai officials kicked off construction of the facility today. It would be Tesla's first car manufacturing plant outside the U.S.
It could finally be the end of the line for Sears. Sources tell Bloomberg Chairman Eddie Lampert's bid to buy several hundred stores out of bankruptcy fell short of bankers' qualifications. That has representatives for Sears preparing for liquidation sales beginning as early as next week.
Shares of PG&E are down 14% in early trading. That's after sources told Bloomberg the company is considering bankruptcy protection. The filing could come in weeks as PG&E seeks to organize billions of dollars in potential liabilities from wildfires that may have been started by its equipment.
And U.S. stock index futures are lower, with S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures now that'll change, down 5 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street now. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. How's that partial government shutdown shaking out, Michael?
Well, Nathan, there was no weekend breakthrough to end it, and now it's in its 17th day. President Trump says he's prepared to shut down the government for more than a year if necessary to get the money he wants for a wall on the Mexican border. The president also says his administration is now planning a steel barrier instead of concrete for the border wall.
I intend to call the head of United States Steel and a couple of other of our great steel companies to have them come up with a plate or a design of a beautiful steel product, which we now make here, and we'll use that as our barrier.
House Democrats are planning to step up pressure on the president and Republican lawmakers to reopen the government. Representative Adam Smith, the Armed Services Committee chairman, told ABC's This Week that it would be a waste of government dollars if President Trump declares a national emergency to get funding for his southern border wall plans.
The president seems unaware of this, but we've actually already built a wall across much of the border. And all border security experts that I talk to say where a wall makes sense, it's already been built.
ABC's This Week can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. will withdraw troops from northern Syria in a way that ensures the Islamic State is defeated for good and will stay until Turkey agrees not to go after the Kurds. Bolton spoke during an appearance in Jerusalem.
We're going to be discussing the president's decision to withdraw, but to do so from northeast Syria in a way that makes sure that ISIS is defeated.
Former Vice President Joe Biden is nearing a decision about a 2020 White House bid. According to the New York Times, Biden is telling allies he doesn't think other potential Democratic candidates can defeat President Trump. Progressive House Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called for a 70% tax hike on the highest incomes in order to fund a Green New Deal plan that would phase out fossil fuels by 2030. Her comments were aired last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody emerged as the top films at last night's Golden Globe Awards. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan Wild finished a wild card weekend. The Eagles had the lead, then the Bears. Then with about a minute to play, it was Philadelphia's turn.
Fourth and goal at the Chicago 2. An avalanche of noise descending down on Foles in the gun. Three-man rush. Rolls out of the pocket. Sidearm throw. Caught. Goal line. Touchdown, Golden Tate. Got inside the hash mark, and Philadelphia has scored.
Westwood won the call. That came on a fourth down play. It gave the Eagles a 16-15 lead, and then Chicago's Cody Parkey missed a game-winning 43-yard field goal. Parkey this season mastered the art of kicking the ball off the upright. He did it four times in one game. This kick actually carried off the upright and then the crossbar, and that's how Chicago's season came to an end. The Eagles, like last season, playoff magic, a fourth straight win as an underdog, all with Nick Foles at quarterback, and now they visit New Orleans, where earlier this season they lost by six touchdowns. Chargers held on, won at Baltimore 23-17. They're 9-0 when boarding a plane. Their only road loss was in L.A. to the Rams. They also won a home game in London. They'll be back on a plane to go play now at New England. Here we go again with Alabama and Clemson. Fourth straight year they've met in the college football playoff. This is the first time where both are undefeated. They'll decide the national championship tonight in Santa Clara. Red Hot Nets won again, 117-100 at Chicago. Minnesota Timberwolves fired coach Tom Thibodeau. Another rough one for the Rangers. They lost 5-0 at Arizona. Devils fell 3-2 at Las Vegas. And Seton Hall lost by a point to DePaul. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you very much. After strong gains this morning in Asia and losses at the moment in Europe, futures on Wall Street are looking for direction. Right now, S&P futures are down about 2 points. Dow futures are up 9. NASDAQ futures down about 6 points. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield at 2.64%. Two-year Treasuries are at 2.48%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Monday morning. Coming up on 5:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are now little changed this morning. The dollar fell to the lowest in more than 2 months against its peers, and oil is headed for its longest rally in more than 17 months as the Federal Reserve sought to soothe investor concerns on signs of slowing American production as well. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now down about 2 points. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures down 8. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or $1.33 to $49.28 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.40 to $12.92.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1437. The yen, 108.19. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Donald Trump is showing no signs of budging on his demand for more than $5 billion for a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. With the shutdown lurching into a third week, hundreds of thousands of federal workers continue to go without pay. President Trump also says he will build the wall out of steel instead of concrete. In the NFL playoffs, the Ravens are out, losing to the Chargers 23-17. The Eagles beat the Bears 16-15 after Cody Parker missed a late field goal. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Wizards. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils lost. The Capitals won. And Alabama takes on Clemson tonight for college football's national title. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Michael. 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get set up for the trading day ahead here on Wall Street. Matt Maley joins us, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Nice, as always, to talk to you, Matt. And it looks as though the brakes are on Friday's rally. Are we just seeing a selling of the rally this morning?
Well, it's no big surprise. I mean, when you get such a big rally on one over just one day, people want to step back and really feel that if it's going to be for real or not. So, I mean, I had been quite bearish throughout the decline, but I really felt that the market had gotten washed out just before Christmas and due for a bounce. And I think we're only partway through this thing. I think that we could rally another 100 points in the S&P, taking up near 2650. Of course, it won't come in a straight line, but with those signs of capitulation I think we got a couple of weeks ago, and you add onto that some more positive news, dovish news out of the Fed, and of course a little bit more positive news on the trade front, I think this thing will move higher.
So how do you see the bounce going along, at least for today?
Well, again, like I said, it's when you rally that much in just one day, I think we'll pull back a little bit. But the one thing, biggest concern, of course, is what we've seen lately with these wild moves, and it's been exacerbated by algos and other things. So it could be an outsized move, but I just don't think we'll see the kind of big 600-point move that we saw on the Dow recently. I think you could pull back a little bit here, and maybe even 100 points or more. But I do think that the news that we got last week is much more positive, and on a near-term basis, I think the market could bounce. I don't think the worst is definitely over, but I do think we're in a much more constructive situation.
So then, do you think that the comments we heard from Chairman Powell on Friday, that the Fed could be more flexible with the rate path and the balance sheet unwind, could give the market a little bit more of a stable footing?
It does to a certain degree. I think over the next few weeks, it really kind of pushes the Fed's comments pushes that issue a little bit to the side for a little while, and the focus is going to be on the trade negotiations that seem to be going on right now and seem to be going at least somewhat well. And of course, when we start to move into earnings season, the one concern though is that even though the Fed has spoken much more dovishly in the last week or so, they're still tightening. I mean, they're still talking about raising rates further, and more importantly, they are still shrinking their balance sheet. And that's going to make liquidity less plentiful, and that's why I think that we'll still have some further dips in the market. I think, like I said, the rally I see near is going to be a near-term one, but I think we'll see at least a retest of the lows before the worst is behind us.
What are you looking for from the trade talks in Beijing this week?
Well, I mean, the one thing everybody realizes is that these things are not going to be settled this week. And I don't think expectations are that they will. So we don't have to worry about that. But we do want to hear that there's some real constructive progress is being made. And we read today that one of the very key senior leaders in China appeared at the negotiations, which is really a mid-level negotiation right now. So that shows that's exactly the kind of thing we want to see, to show that China is very serious about it. Mr. Lighthizer is already there, so we have he's going to be there, so we have serious showing that we're very serious about the talks. So that's the kind of thing that we're not seeing. It's more of what we're not seeing. Also, is that we're not seeing the belligerent talk from the president. Hopefully, we can avoid some tweets on that end as well.
Yeah, and if we continue to see progress on the China-U.S. trade talk front, what does that mean for equities that are more exposed to things like the energy sector, commodities?
Well, it's funny, because that's certainly going to be positive, because one of the things we have, of course, that's created through this trade talk or trade war, has been the uncertainty in the marketplace. And not only are people say, well, it's definitely going to be negative, it doesn't have to definitely be negative. It's just the fact that people aren't certain and willing to make capital expenditure decisions and things like that. If they can get a little bit more confident, that certainly will help the market. But also, of course, we're seeing a little bit of weakness in the dollar today, and it's at the lowest level in a while, in a couple of months now. That's going to be very positive for commodities overall, and for one, it will also be very positive for one very over oversold and very overhated group, which is the emerging markets. Now, we do need to see the dollar really break down further from here. We'd have to break down the DXY index would have to break below 94 to really confirm that the trend has changed. But that's something that could create a big surprise for people. So if you're looking for one big surprise in the first quarter, it would be a much weaker dollar, which would be helpful to commodities and the emerging markets.
Matt Maley, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Always good to get your insights. Thanks for being here on this Monday morning on Bloomberg Daybreak as we take a look at the market open in a few hours. We're looking for a bit of direction this morning. Futures are pointing just a touch lower right now with S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures up a point. They've been going back and forth between gains and losses. And NASDAQ futures now down 10 points. That's a drop of about a 10%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're watching equity markets following Friday's Fed-fueled 3.4% rally for the S&P 500. U.S. futures are little change while European equities move lower. Stocks in Asia rallied. Japan's Nikkei rose 2.4%, while stocks in China gained 0.6%.
U.S.-China trade talks are underway in Beijing. Sources tell Bloomberg Chinese Vice Premier Liu He unexpectedly attended the first day of discussions. China's top trade negotiator hadn't previously been expected at the talks.
As the U.S. government shutdown enters its 17th day, data on international trade, factory orders, and wholesale trade will be postponed this week. Today we get data on America's service industries, with economists forecasting the ISM non-manufacturing index for December will edge lower. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In November, the ISM services index advanced to 60.7. That's close to a record. Business activity and new orders led the increase, adding to indications that the sector remained robust. Services account for about 90% of the business economy. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Sears is now preparing for a possible liquidation that could cost tens of thousands of jobs. Bloomberg News has learned Chairman Eddie Lampert's plan to buy several hundred stores out of bankruptcy fell short of bankers' qualifications.
After 4 years of planning, Tesla finally broke ground in its planned $5 billion factory in China. The facility will be Tesla's first car manufacturing plant outside the U.S.
Tomorrow in Tokyo, Carlos Ghosn speaks publicly for the first time since his arrest almost 2 months ago. The former Nissan chairman appears in a Japanese court where his lawyer says he'll declare his innocence.
And shares of PG&E are down 14% in early trading. That's after sources told Bloomberg the company is considering bankruptcy protection. The filing could come in weeks as PG&E seeks to organize billions of dollars in potential liabilities from wildfires that may have been started by its equipment. Futures this morning, again, little changed. S&P futures are down 1.5 points. Dow futures up 8. NASDAQ futures down 9. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. CAC in Paris down 0.33%. FTSE 100 down about 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8%, up $1.36 to $49.32 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $7 to $12.92.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1440, and the yen is at 108.19. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. On Capitol Hill, a growing number of Republicans are said to be backing Democrats' calls to reopen the government and separately debate border security. The partial government shutdown is now entering its 17th day. President Trump was asked about the furloughed government workers struggling to pay their bills.
I can relate, and I'm sure that the people that are on the receiving end will make adjustments. They always do.
But those comments are being challenged by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
He said, I demand it my way, $5.6 billion for a big concrete wall, and the government could be shut down for months or even years. Everyone, Democrats and Republicans, were sort of aghast when he said it.
Meanwhile, President Trump said his administration is now planning a steel barrier on the U.S. border with Mexico rather than a concrete wall. The president also renewed a threat to invoke a national emergency as a way to circumvent Congress on border funding. Senator Elizabeth Warren's first trip to Iowa as a likely presidential candidate highlighted her fiery anti-Wall Street populism and could set the tone for the sprawling field of Democrats expected to jockey for the right to challenge President Trump in 2020.
This is an extraordinary moment in American history. It is a moment when our country faces great danger, but it is also a moment when democracy itself is rebuilding, is strengthening.
Warren announced last week she's looking at a 2020 presidential run. A trial will begin today in federal court in San Francisco over the Trump administration's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 U.S. Census. Judge Richard Seaborg is scheduled to hear a week of testimony from experts and other witnesses. The judge will decide whether to allow the question. The Freddie Mercury biopic Bohemian Rhapsody took Best Picture, drama, at last night's Golden Globe Awards. The FX series The Americans was named the best TV drama. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, great season for the Chicago Bears, except their kicker struggled. Cody Parkey missed 11 kicks, and over half of them went off the upright. He had a game where it happened four times. Yesterday, it cost the Bears a playoff game.
2 yards back, 2 yards to the side. Holding will be the punter, O'Donnell. Far hash on the grass for the lead. Ball put down. Right-footed kick is up, end over end. And now he hit the crossbar after he hit the upright. He hit the upright again. He's done it all season long.
Kevin Harlan, Westwood won, so the Eagles won 16-15. They had taken the lead on a fourth down. Nick Foles, TD pass with about a minute to play. Chargers blew much of a 20-point lead but held on to win at Baltimore 23-17. So road teams won three of the four wild card games. Both the six seeds are still alive. Saturday, the Colts visit the Chiefs. Cowboys play the Rams. And then Sunday, it's the Chargers at the Patriots. The Eagles visit the Saints. Battle of unbeatens to decide the college football championship tonight. Santa Clara, California. It's Alabama and Clemson. They've been the two best teams all season, actually, over the last four seasons. The last three championship games have all not been decided until the end. Minnesota Timberwolves have fired coach Tom Thibodeau. The Nets won again. They've won 12 of the last 15. D'Angelo Russell, 28 points, a 117-100 win at Chicago. Rangers lost 5-0 at Arizona. They've dropped 9 of the last 12, outscored over the last three games, 18-3. Devils lost at Las Vegas, 3-2. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover, President Trump's love-hate relationship with the stock market. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
My article and remarks column kind of look at two things. The degree to which Trump affected the stock market. Also, the degree to which the stock market affects Trump, which is equally fascinating.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. We're coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Jobs in New York City are being created faster than almost anywhere in the country. New York Post says workers in high demand include those in finance and accounting, tech industry employees, blue-collar workers, and staffers for the new Amazon facility in Long Island City. New Jersey lawmakers are looking to revive taxpayer-funded subsidies for the horse racing industry with legislation that could provide a total of $100 million over the next 5 years. According to NJ Spotlight, critics have labeled the proposed taxpayer-funded subsidy a bailout and wonder how a state with perennial budget problems could afford it. Connecticut residents who rent out their homes through Airbnb generated $35 million in revenue and hosted 170,000 guests in 2018. That's according to the company. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It's just before 5:39 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky on KYW in Philadelphia. We're talking about Comcast and other pay TV companies raising their rates.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Jobs in the Texas oil patch dropped for the first time in almost 2 years.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about a report New York hedge fund Starboard Value is trying to force the breakup of the Dollar Tree empire.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the possibility of a second Brexit referendum as Parliament returns to work.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a monthly Department of Agriculture report is so far delayed this week because of the partial government shutdown.
I'm Ed Corey. On KFBK in Sacramento, I'm reporting Tesla chief Elon Musk says he'll break ground for a new factory in Shanghai today.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following this morning. Get ready to pay more to go to Disneyland. Yeah, Disney raised the cost of attending its California theme parks during peak times by more than 10% ahead of the opening of a new Star Wars land. Cost of a one-day ticket during peak times, typically summers, weekends, and holidays, rose 10.4% from $149 from $135. The least expensive daily ticket rose 7.2%, still cost $104. Apple and Samsung have announced a deal. The iPhone maker will begin offering iTunes movies and TV shows on Samsung TV sets. The arrangement demonstrates Apple's shift toward tech and media services. Futures pointed lower this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The surge in risk appetite spurred by soothing Federal Reserve comments and easing of monetary policy in China showing signs of losing momentum as U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. European stocks reversing gains even as shares in Asia rally. The dollar falling to the lowest in more than 2 months against peers. Oil headed for its longest rally in more than 17 months. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures are up 17. NASDAQ futures down about 8. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or $1.36 to $49.31 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.20 to $12.92 an ounce. The euro, $1.1436. The yen, 108.35. Earnings season gets started this week with reports from Lennar, Constellation Brands, and Delta Airlines. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider reports.
Earnings from Delta come after the airline cut its forecast for the second time in 2 months. Delta now sees revenue gaining just 3% from last year. For Lennar, analysts forecast year-over-year growth of 54%. The home builder lowered its guidance last quarter as home sales slowed. Constellation Brands reports earnings for the first time since its additional $3.9 billion investment in medical marijuana producer Canopy. Bloomberg Intelligence estimates earnings per share growth for Constellation in the mid-single digits. In New York, I'm Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jill, thank you. And Volkswagen said it'll boost sales in China this year by adding new models that'll help avoid a downward pull of a market that's expected to see its first annual decline in at least 2 decades. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The partial government shutdown has now entered its 17th day. President Trump.
It'll all work out. What we need is we need a strong border. We have criminals coming in. We have human traffickers coming in. We have drugs pouring in. We have things happening that you don't want to even know about.
President Trump says he will also make the wall out of steel instead of concrete. Democrats say before continuing negotiations on border security and physical barriers, they want the government reopened and everybody back to work. However, it appears both sides have dug in and there are no signs of a breakthrough. Former Vice President Joe Biden is nearing a decision about a 2020 White House bid, and he's telling allies he doesn't think other potential Democratic candidates can defeat President Trump. That's according to the New York Times. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the U.S. will withdraw troops from northeastern Syria in a way that ensures the Islamic State is defeated for good and will stay in Turkey until it agrees not to go after the Kurds. Bolton spoke during an appearance in Jerusalem with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. A New York City firefighter was killed in the line of duty early this morning as he arrived at the scene of a vehicle accident on Brooklyn's Belt Parkway. 30-year-old Stephen Pollard, a firefighter, was responding to a car accident last night on an elevated section of the highway, apparently not knowing there was a roughly 3-foot gap between the east and westbound lanes. He fell more than 50 feet onto a section of hard sand. He was transported to Kings County Hospital, where he died from those injuries. In the NFL playoffs, the Ravens are out, losing to the Chargers 23-17. The Eagles beat the Bears 16-15 after Cody Parker missed a late field goal. In the NBA, the Nets won along with the Wizards. In the NHL, the Rangers and Devils lost. The Capitals won. And Alabama takes on Clemson tonight for college football's national title. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks so much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:51 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. It's our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London Bureau now. She's Bloomberg Opinion Editor. And I see Alex Webb, Jennifer, is watching streaming television. I mean, Netflix did win big at the Golden Globes with movies like Roma and TV shows like The Kominsky Method. But Alex is saying that if Netflix and other streaming services want to keep operating in Europe, they got to start splashing the cash at local studios.
Yes, so that's right. Not 24 hours after the Golden Globes have ended. Here we have a European Union directive coming into effect, which says that 30% of video content available through on-demand platforms in Europe must be locally produced. So member states will have 21 months to pass this into national legislation, and there's no quota currently. So what does this mean? It doesn't mean that, for instance, Netflix's German station must have 30% of its shows made in Germany. Rather, the content can originate from anywhere in the EU. But the broader point is that the video on demand platforms are going to have to find this content from somewhere. And so given where it is now with the amount of content that it produces, the likes of Netflix and Amazon are going to be forced to lean to a great extent on local studios. And that means if you're a broadcaster with a captive studio arm, you can sell your shows to the Americans.
Yeah, and I would imagine that means that some of these European TV studios are in for quite the windfall.
Yes, but Alex's point is that everyone just has to say to themselves, hang on here a minute, because the key for the studios is to be very disciplined about what shows they decide to sell. And he says that ITV, the UK broadcaster, has really set a very good standard about how broadcasters across the union should really be looking at it. So ITV has made an adaptation of Vanity Fair as a co-production with Amazon Studios. The British broadcaster has kept the domestic distribution rights, but Amazon holds them internationally. And Alex says that this is the right approach. It satisfies Amazon's need for locally produced content. It helps plump up the coffers of ITV's growing studios business. And more importantly, for ITV, it doesn't sacrifice an important advantage in its home market by offering up a flagship show to somebody who would wind up being a local rival.
Now, ITV notwithstanding, how badly do European stations need the cash?
Well, they're all looking to invest in video on demand platform, and that's going to, according to a Morgan Stanley report, really reduce free cash flow for the next 7 years or so before it starts to become accretive. On top of that, it looks like it's going to be a tough few years for the likes of ProSiebenSat, RTL, TVF1, Mediaset, other broadcasters of the region. Television advertising revenue looks unlikely to improve, and Brexit's sure to make that worse. On top of that, the studio business, while it's growing, is much less profitable than advertising. So even though you've got the Americans turning up with their deep pockets, regional broadcasters have to make sure they retain their crown jewels for their competing domestic on-demand platforms.
All right, moving on from entertainment cash to oil money. Julian Lee writes that now that the Saudis are slashing oil output, they should get ready for Trump tweets. But Saudi Arabia had already signaled it was going to cut oil output. So what's the problem?
Yeah, you're exactly right. They had signaled that. And just to let me take you back to December, right before the OPEC meeting, crude oil prices were in the midst of their worst quarterly decline in 4 years. And President Donald Trump tweeted that the group should stay the course with their decision on output. But what got decided, as you mentioned, output is going to be cut. And for Saudi Arabia, that meant cutting production to just over 10.3 million barrels a day. But now there's two things here that Julian Lee says that we should really be looking at. One is that the Saudis said that they pledged to go further, and that looks like it's happening, slashing output to 10.2 million barrels a day. But on top of that, it looks like the biggest drop in flows from the kingdom was the volume heading to the U.S. Shipments to the U.S. fell by nearly 60% between November and December to just over 350,000 barrels a day.
And how can we see that lower volume of shipments play out in U.S. data?
Well, it's worth pointing out to start with that that drop, isn't the size of it rather, isn't set in stone. We've got a small number of ships signaling that they're heading for the Suez Canal or Singapore, and they could eventually wind up going to the U.S. But even so, a decline in Saudi crude shipments to American ports should start to show up in lower deliveries after about 6 weeks. So by mid-February, U.S. imports of the kingdom's oil could have fallen to the lowest in more than 30 years.
Now, what are the Saudis charging for it?
Well, this is another going to be another point of contention because it looks like the prices charged to U.S. buyers for most grades are now close to record levels. Just to give you an example, Saudi heavy crude, which is the closest alternative to supplies from Venezuela and Mexico, is the most expensive it's been since 2009 in relative terms. So, I mean, overall, the reductions might be evident more quickly than you might see in other regions. And that's because of the way the data works. You can see the price differentials show up faster. But for the Saudis, there's no reason to doubt their will in Vienna that they were going to go further than what was agreed at the meeting. Because just to take you back a little bit to July 2017, it was only after that slashing in exports to the U.S. that oil prices really began to recover. And the Saudis are going to be hoping for a similar impact this time, too. But the upshot of it is don't expect that Donald Trump is going to stay silent in his tweets on that.
All right. Well, thanks very much for all that. That's Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, joining us from our London bureau. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, customers can type in O-P-I-N. Go, Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures, they are little change this morning, down 1 point. Dow futures are now up 10. That's still little change, though. And NASDAQ futures, they're down 8. The DAX in Germany down about 0.3%. CAC in Paris down about the same. And the FTSE 100 down almost 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 2.4%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 2.64%. Yield on the 2-year 2.48%. And the 30-year yield is at 2.93%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 2.7% or $1.31 to $49.26 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $6.40 to $12.92.20 an ounce. And the euro $1.1439. The yen 108.35. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.